Good morning, church family. Thank you, Dave. It's so good to be with you all again this week. Just like last week, we're in for another substitute teacher day here at Southern Hills, so we're going to have a lot of fun. But with that, we also have a special guest with us. Jane Ritter is going to be in on our organ this week to substitute in for James Humlong, who's on a much-needed vacation. So we're very thankful for her. And additionally, Reverend Mark Shepherd is going to be preaching this morning, which is very exciting. I got to hear his sermon in the 8:45 service. It's really wonderful. You all are in for a treat, and we're really excited for that. Additionally, I wanted to invite all of you, particularly with children and grandchildren, for a dinner next Sunday at 5 p.m. One of our families here at the church is going to be hosting that. So if you want to have the address, just please reach out to me or to Hannah, and we will make that happen. We would love to see you all there and have an opportunity to just fellowship together with all of you. So, with that said, let us join in fellowship this morning as we share the peace of Christ with one another. It's always such a joy to watch as we get to fellowship with one another, smile, shake hands, share the peace of Christ. Always such a joy. Let us join in prayer together as we welcome the Holy Spirit into this place. Father, we are so grateful for you. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We pray that you fill this space to knit us together, to join us together as your body of Christ. May your Spirit create us into your holy church, that we may be in service to you and in full devotion to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
God delights in our praise and adoration. Now it's your turn. Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Be joyful in the Lord.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Trust the Lord and move forward with God.
Be faithful and follow where God leads.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare.
We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come out upon the earth. Amen.
Oh.
You may be seated, and as you are seated, our precious children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
Good morning, my friends. Come on down. Oh boy, we have a lot of friends. I love it. Come have a seat. All right, well, today we are going to talk about somebody named Gideon in the Bible. Can you say Gideon? And God asked Gideon to do something really big. Show me big with your hand. Really big. He wanted him to lead an entire army. Raise your hand if you think you could lead an entire army. You've got confidence down here. He wanted Gideon to lead an entire army and to save God's people. Do you remember what God's people are called? The Israelites. That's right, from their enemies. Just run-of-the-mill sort of job, right? Lead an entire army and save Israel, okay? But Gideon, he wasn't sure. He knew he believed in God, but he had doubts. Have you ever had doubts about something? Have you ever thought, is that really what I'm supposed to do? Or is God really listening to me right now? Have you ever had doubts before? Well, Gideon had some doubts. And so Gideon asked God for a sign. What do I have with me today?
A blanket.
It does look kind of like a blanket. It's like a piece of fleece, right? Do you want to touch it? It feels really soft. It's really soft. You can pass it around and let everybody touch it. So Gideon asked God to give him a sign. He put this piece of fleece or wool on the ground and he said, God, if this is really what you want me to do, you want me to lead this army for you, I'm going to lay this fleece down. Can we bring it back up here? Yep, let Grace touch it. Up. We're going to lay this on the ground. And God, in the morning, make this fleece wet. What happens overnight when moisture comes down from the sky? What's that called? Like dew, right? You ever go out in your yard in the morning and the grass is wet? He said, I want the fleece to be wet with dew. Yeah, but I want the ground to be dry. Well, that sounds impossible, doesn't it? So the next morning, guess what? The fleece was wet and the ground was dry. But Gideon still had doubts. He's like, is this you really, you God? Okay, look, I'm going to put this fleece out again. And this time, I want the fleece in the morning to be dry and I want the ground to be wet. And guess what? He went out and the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. Only who could do that? God. That's a miracle, right? Something that only God can do. God didn't even get mad at Gideon for doubting. God was patient with Gideon and he was kind. And that's what I want you to remember today. Sometimes we might feel a little bit unsure with God, and we might be asking, is God listening to me? Or can I really do what God wants me to do? And that's okay for you to ask those kind of questions. God doesn't get upset with us because God is patient and God is kind. And so he wants us to trust him, right? We're supposed to trust God because God knows what's best for us. And just like Gideon, he might have doubted, but he trusted God and he asked God to send him aside. And God is always with us if we just trust him, okay? So let's say a prayer and then we're going to go upstairs for kids worship. Holy God, Creator God, we thank you for your word in the Bible. Help us to trust you like Gideon was able to trust you, God. Help us to give you all of our lives so that we may be your disciples. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, let's go upstairs.
Thank you.
as we prepare our hearts to receive God's word and to go out in the world to serve on his mission, let us confess our sins together. O God, we confess our faith and trust in you, but also our inability to see your purpose, our failure to receive your gifts, our resistance to your grace. Remove the obstacles that separate us from you. Remind us of your steadfast love for us. Rekindle that fire of your spirit that dwells deep within us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Hear the good news. The Lord is our strength and our deliverer. If the Lord has set you free, you are free indeed. In the name of Jesus Christ and through the power of his cross, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful place that we have come to be a part of your worship and your service today. Bless us now as we come and open our hearts and minds to all of the things that you would place there. Lord, there's a lot that we need to trust you about today. We thank you for the Hall of Fame of Scripture that reminds us that throughout the history of the people of Israel on into this modern day, that people have trusted you and given themselves over even when the way seemed dark. And we thank you for the Hall of Fame of people like Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Isaac and Barak and even Gideon, Lord, as we think about him today, you use them in mighty ways. Lord, help us to remember that Hall of Fame and Scripture, and let us be reminded, Lord, that seeing as how we are surrounded with such a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, Lord. As our author and finisher of our faith, we give you great thanks. Lord, we come today with heavy hearts for people who are sick and downcast and in trouble. It's hard to look across the world, Lord. It's hard to look across places like California, where men who seek to keep the law have lost their lives. We think about the people close to home, the people at Richmond Road Baptist Church, Lord. This is a heavy and a hard thing, and we know that it breaks your heart. Lord, I pray that you surround all of those people at this time. We know that there's great recovery going down in the South, and Lord, I pray for the families related to the Mystic Camp and all the others that came under that flood. Lord, you are with us even in these difficult times, and we look to you and ask for your sustenance. And we ask that you would lead us, Lord, in these days. Deliver us from every evil and grant us peace in your day. And in your mercy, keep us free from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Lord and Savior. So, Lord, be with us in this service. Thank you for the way the music brings us close to your heart. And now, Lord, as your servant Mark comes to bring the word, we ask that you would be upon him, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would place on our hearts the things that we need to know, things that we need to be ready to experience as your people. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of forever. Amen.
Let us now worship the Lord with our tithes and with our offerings.
Shake in the heart of the sea, though the water.
majestic is your name in all of the earth. May these gifts, these tithes and offerings go to be in service to your mission, to bring sight to the blind, healing to the sick, release to the captives, and good news to the poor. Give us, as your church, wisdom and discernment to do these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Judges 6, verses 33 through 40. Soon afterward, the armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east formed an alliance against Israel and crossed the Jordan, camping in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. He blew a ram's horn as a call to arms, and the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. Then Gideon said to God, "If you are truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way. I will put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I will know that you are going to help me rescue Israel as you promised." And that is just what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out a whole bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time let the fleece remain dry while the ground around it is wet with dew." So that night God did as Gideon asked. The fleece was dry in the morning, but the ground was covered with dew. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Before we get started, I do want to just take a moment to say thank you to all of you for the way you have embraced me and my wife and loved us and cared for us through this time. And we have loved being here and really appreciate your support and your prayers. I will caution you that I've started a new chemo cocktail this month, and the word of the month is, as Festus Hagen used to say on Gunsmoke, swimmy headed. So I've got a stool behind me if I need to sit down, but just be patient, please, as we venture through this. I don't know how well you were listening as Elizabeth beautifully read our scripture this morning, but did you perceive from this passage at all that Gideon was not really all that excited about his new role that God had for him? We don't really know much about Gideon before last week's chapter, where Parker preached about his call specifically. We know about his heritage, and that tells a lot about a person. But we don't know so much about the individual like we did with people like Moses and Abraham. You know, we knew a lot of history about them and how they dealt with things and people and God. And Gideon's kind of a new face. I venture to say he's not unlike many or most of us. Pretty ordinary. And God has a way of taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary tasks with them and through them. Often, they were people who didn't really want to be bothered. You'll remember, Bill prayed about Moses and mentioned him, and Moses is a wonderful example for us. But if you'll recall, when Moses saw the burning bush, he wasn't real excited about where it was going to lead. God send Aaron. He's a much better candidate than I am. The story of Jonah, you remember that? We don't have any of the conversation between Jonah and God when he was called, but you'll recall Jonah hightailed it out of town pretty quick when God started letting him know what he wanted him to do. And then even after he was successful at his task, Jonah pouted about it. Do you remember that? Can you relate to these guys? I can. I'm too busy for that, God. Please don't bother me with that now. Or I could never do something like that, God. I'm just not qualified for that. That's not my background. My degree is in something else. Or God, that really just isn't my thing. You know, I have things I can do, but that's not one of them. Somebody else. And poor Gideon, as we learned last week, is here minding his own business, hiding from the Midianites and all the others who are wanting to take over. And Gideon just wants to be left alone. He's not bothering anybody, and he doesn't want to be bothered. He's threshing wheat. And all of a sudden, this guy comes along and says, God's got a job for you. That's one of those darn it moments of life. Now, I will confess to you, that's not really what we say at our house. But it's what we'll say here. One of those darn it moments. What follows in today's text, what we're dealing with today, is Gideon wrestling with the call and basically saying, do I have to? Have you heard those words? Maybe from your kids, maybe from your spouse, maybe from a coworker. Do I have to? Okay, God, if you really want me, let's do this little trick, and we'll see what happens. I'll put the fleece out, and we'll see what happens. Another one of those darn it moments, because it worked. And then he goes in verse 39. This is one of my favorite. There are two verses I'm going to highlight for you especially. Verse 39. Don't be mad, God, but can we go for 2 out of 3? Don't be mad, but I really don't want to do this. Such a telling reaction. I know better, but let's do it anyway just for fun. Now, there are people who would spiritualize this process and say that it's about humility. And Gideon just really being a humble person and not wanting to take a role from somebody that was more qualified. But this is not about humility. C.S. Lewis is credited with saying, humility is not about thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And I think that is true. And humility might actually think that somebody else really is better qualified for the job. But what's going on here is about insecurity and not wanting to be bothered. Humility should say, God, thank you for being who you are and walking with me and helping me through life, and I will follow where you lead. That's humility. The Virgin Mary had a response of humility. I am the handmaid of the Lord. let it be with me according to your will. We struggle with the calling of God for our lives. And by struggle, I mean rebel and fight. We like to have control of our lives. We've set up these nice little structures of life that are very comfortable and easy to deal with. And just leave me alone and let me live it. You know, it's not a big deal. And God usually calls people to something they don't want to do. And God often calls people to work with people they don't want to work with. And God's call often requires resourcefulness that we don't want to have to utilize. The call challenges us to be more than we are. You know, the best relationships in our lives are not with the people who pat us on the back and say, oh, you're so wonderful and I'm so glad you're my friend. I mean, I'm all for that, and pat me on the back and tell me I'm your friend and I'll be glad. But the best relationships we have in life at any level are the ones that call us to step into uncharted waters and stretch ourselves. I went to seminary a long, long time ago in the Dark Ages. And part of my seminary education was a thing called professional development. It was something that came with much fear and trepidation at Emory University. And it actually was a deal breaker for several students. If you failed your professional development, you didn't get your degree. And it happened. And people were scared to death. It followed 2 years of a supervised ministry where you were placed in a ministry setting and had to deal with real people in real situations. And then you came together once a week for kind of a group therapy session about what had happened in your placement. And then you had to write a big paper about ministry and your call, and all that went into the professional assessment. And there were people there who got slapped in the face pretty hard. Because your life was really the textbook for this. And people were brutally honest about your motives and your incentive for doing what you're doing. And there were several of us who had pretty dramatic wake-up calls in that process. Most of the time, it was good for us. And it wasn't so much saying, you're not supposed to be in ministry. Just let it go. But there were a lot of us who thought we were going in one direction when God was really leading in another direction. And the best relationships we can have are with people who will be truthful with us and call us to step into uncharted waters and be more than we are. And that's what God was doing with Gideon in this passage of Scripture. What is your relationship with God like? Do you listen to those kinds of conversations that God wants to have with you? You know, sometimes in our human relationships, we get mad at people who are trying to control us. You're always trying to tell me what to do. And sometimes that spills over to our spiritual relationship with God, too. You're trying to control me. And God says, no, I'm trying to help you find who I made you to be. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Gideon said, God, let's do this thing with the fleece and we'll decide whether or not I'm supposed to lead this mighty army or not. God wasn't ambivalent. But Gideon was. And Moses said, wouldn't Aaron be better? Isn't there something else we can work out here, God? And Jonah left town. And can you imagine what was going through Ananias' head when God called him to go meet Saul of Tarsus right after Saul's conversion? There is a little bit of conversation, a very little bit, but of conversation there. But can you imagine being the first one to go minister to Saul? Frankly, the women have done better with this calling thing. Deborah, earlier in the book of Judges, if you'll recall, just kind of slid into her role as judge very naturally and very effectively. And the Virgin Mary, we've already mentioned, wins the prize for answering the call of God. Sometimes, though, we need a good friend or one of those moments of spiritual awakening to smack us in the face and wake us up to reality. And guide us into the direction that we need to go. And help us find who God created us to be. So what does that have to do with me, you might ask? We all need to be asking all the time, what is God calling me to do? We have the typical avoidance responses, too busy, unqualified, not interested, find somebody else. Or we think we've done our thing for God. We taught Sunday school 20 years ago. I helped at the soup kitchen twice. And good for you for doing that. Those are good things to do. But we don't retire from Christian service. I've been fighting cancer for 8 years and kind of out of commission ministry-wise for that whole time. And it's taken, both of those aspects have taken a toll on me. But I do believe that I'm still here for a reason. Statistically, I should have died 7 years ago. But God has me hanging on for something. And I'm ready to get beyond this chemo phase of life, I got to tell you. 130 treatments, and I'm ready to, move on. And I'm ready to move on to what God has for me, I say. We'll see what God has for me and how I react when we figure it out. I may have the typical avoidance responses then, too. But the question of this passage, and for me and for you, is what's next? Church people have long used the phrase putting out the fleece as a way of discerning God's will. But God, especially in this story, was not ambivalent. The other verse that I find very telling about human nature in this passage is in verse 37, where he says, well, prove it to me. If I'm going to lead this big army, prove to me that you want me to do it. Do you know people like that? Prove there's a God. Well, you know what? If you don't want to believe, I can't prove it to you. Too often, it is true in stories of Scripture and in stories of today that we don't want to hear it. But God is pretty clear and in many places pretty specific. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Love one another as I have loved you. Follow me. Sound familiar? Are they vague? They're very instructional and very revealing and very specific if we choose to listen. Prove it to me. He already has in 1,000 ways. In 1,000 ways. We're about to sing about a firm foundation. That foundation comes not as we grab on to the traditions and baggage of the past that the church often does. You know, we've always done it this way before. But that firm foundation comes as we cling to God, who moves us forward. How about you? Are you built in following, built in growing, built in moving forward? Are you listening? Are you ready for God's call for you now? Let's bow our heads. Oh God, forgive us for being so human as we go along our spiritual journey. Help us, God, to grab the good things of the firm foundation and move forward in hope and power and love as we answer your call and do your work. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.